Amen, amen, amen. Well, we have a good report to share. Brother Scotty was telling me there's a lady that's celebrating with us over here. I don't know if you want to stand or not. That's up to you. But that she is, as of today, cancer-free. Can we give the Lord a hand clap right here? Cancer-free. She is cancer-free. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. Amen. 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 I am so sorry. Let me grab a Kleenex. Thank you. You shouldn't have gum in your mouth when you're preaching. Get an amen on that. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank Brother Scotty for the opportunity to share this morning. And, you know, I always try and hear from the Lord. I try. You know, we're not always perfect. And amen on that. We're not always perfect. And I felt like the Lord said, he said, I want you to talk on hope. And I was like, hope? Oh, that's a tough one. There's not a whole lot of pictures I can do with hope, you know, hope. And so today is going to be maybe a little more preachy than what Robbie's accustomed to. But that's okay. I've taught for 16 years. And so I'm a teacher slash preacher. And at times, you know, the teacher's there. Sometimes the preacher's there. So we'll just let the Holy Spirit take control. Is that okay? So today, the title of the message is Hope in God. That is the title of the message. And first of all, I want to show you a definition of hope. Okay? Hope. A feeling of expectation and desire. Just guys, just leave that up there for a few minutes. A feeling of expectation and desire for a certain, and I put in parentheses good, a certain thing to happen. Okay? Now, there is the world's definition. I'm going to put it this way. There's the world definition of hope, and then there's the biblical definition of hope. So let me tell you about the world's definition of hope. Hope, a feeling of expectation, desire for a certain good thing to happen. Well, I had a desire and an expectation for the Thanksgiving week to go flawless. For us to have a wonderful Thanksgiving week. And to start off the Thanksgiving week, we were going to go to the Christmas Spectacular hosted by the University of Mobile. And listen, I grew up in choirs, at 100 voice choir in my church growing up. I was looking forward to the choral arrangement and everything. And we were going to take the whole family, okay? And we did take the whole family, and it was great. The first number, when it started, all three of my kids looked at me and went... And then my youngest, Jonah, wave. I'm going to talk about Jonah. I did not know he was going to be here this morning. There's Jonah right there. He's my youngest. I'm going to talk about him this morning. In the middle of it, a lady came up, and she was doing a little bit more operatic version, and she had a kind of a meat coat on, and he's like, Dad, is that the Easter Bunny? And he said it real loud so everybody could hear it. And I was like, no, that is not the Easter Bunny. And then... And you know, we're in the back. I said, thank you, Jesus, we're in the back, you know. But you know you're bad when people around you are laughing every time your kids say something. And then we got to intermission. It was just intermission. And my youngest said, thank God it's over, as loud as he could. Again, the world's definition of hope is an expectation for a good thing to happen. It didn't work out the way I thought. One other story, and then I'll get into hope. I'm going to lead you to the biblical definition of hope. But again, the world definition of hope, you hope everything's going to go well. So Tuesday night, we had some friends over. Actually, the Bergmans, Kyle's in the back, but they're running sound. You know, it's way better as Kyle there. Let's give Kyle a hand back there. These guys in the back, they don't get a lot of love, but I tell you, they're doing stuff in the back you don't see. But anyway, he was over at the house, And Kyle and I were talking in another bedroom or something, talking about TV or something, and all of a sudden I hear, boom! And I was like, what was that? And I look, and my youngest, again, Jonah, I love Jonah. Jonah was playing Fortnite. Lord help us on that game. But anyway, he was playing something. Okay, anyway, he was playing something. He got excited, and he had the remote control, so he just started doing this number right here. Well, somehow, the remote control left his hands and hit the middle of my 55-inch flat screen TV. Shattered the whole screen. Anyway, we won't talk about what happened next. Daddy needed Jesus' intervention. Well, I'm not done. You know, I'm not done. You're thinking, oh, everything's going to go great in life. We, you know, we battle against hope. Everything's going to be fine. We're not going to have any problems. 30 minutes later, after I calmed down, I had to go outside for a while just to try and calm down. We had a Boston butt, and I was pulling the meat off of it. And you know, when you pull that meat off that Boston butt, you're going to pick, gentlemen you, or ladies, you're going to pick some of that meat up and start biting on it, right? You know what I'm saying? So I took some of that meat up, and I took a big old bite of that, and I chomped down, and it felt like a 2x4 broke in my mouth. I cracked one of my back teeth all the way through. I got a hole right there, Brother Scotty. The next day, I had to go to the dentist, and they pulled that sucker. And praise God for dentists. Anyway, I'm going to have to get a bridge or something other. I don't know. But anyway, I got a big hole in my roll tide in my mouth. Hey, amen. I'm just kidding. I'm not supposed to say that. And I got... I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I did say it. I mean, I am an Alabama fan. I love Auburn, too. We're a mixed family. Lindsay, we're a mixed family. You know, War Eagle, too. Anyway, we'll stay away from that one today. You know, people are about to leave the church now because of that one. All right. It's too late, but that's okay. Lord, forgive me. You know, we still love you, Robbie. Anyway, I'm the one with the hole in my mouth, so don't, you know, come on. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, there's a difference between worldly hope and biblical hope. Now, let's talk about biblical hope, because all of us have hope for something, but there's a biblical hope that is taught to us. Biblical hope is not based on uncertainty, but on an expectation and a confidence that a certain good thing will happen. Biblical hope is something that will happen, and we're going to look at that today. It is a normal Christian experience to fight and struggle to maintain our biblical hope. Psalms 42:5. This is David. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? You know, David would always talk about his low moments, and then at the end of his low moment, what would he do? But I will. Why you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? But you know, Lord, I'm going to hope in you, for I shall yet praise you. Sometimes we've got to preach to ourselves. Lord, I'm going to hope in you, yet I will praise you. It doesn't matter if I'm quiet in my soul. It doesn't matter if I feel pain. I'm going to hope in you, Lord, because you are worthy to be hoped in. Jeremiah, we talked about him today. Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. Jeremiah was prophesying about something that you and I get. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We've got something to hope for, ladies and gentlemen. How can we have hope, a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain good thing to happen when we're in the midst of bad news? It's because we have something to hope in. And we're going to get to that in a minute. We must remind ourselves of who we really are, of the great gifts given to us, of our immeasurable inheritance, regardless if we deserve it or not. Our hope is in what Jesus did, it is doing, and will do. So here's what I want to talk about in a minute. I want to talk about the Last Supper, and I want to talk about communion, and I want to talk about something that, you know, I've taken communion ever since I was a kid. But I want to talk about a nuance of it that I think is very powerful for us to understand our hope. So in Matthew 26, 17 through 19, the Last Supper, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, Matthew 26, 17 to 19, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? Jesus replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. Now, if you'll show the pictures here, let me tell you something. Everything Jesus did was for a purpose. When he was saying something and doing something, it was always for a reason. Not only for that time, but to fulfill the past time and to do something for us in the future time. You know that when Jesus said something, it was past, present, and future all mixed together? He knew that we would be talking about it today one day. He knew the scriptures would be written down. It is just phenomenal. So having this on the Passover, this meal, and what he was about to do at the Passover was significant. Because he knew at the Passover, they are commemorating, and you guys know this story. You know the story of Moses. He went to Pharaoh, and the very last plague was going to be the death of the firstborn, anyone in that area. And of course, Moses and Aaron gave instructions to all the Israelites. They said, get a lamb, a perfect lamb. The bones are not broken. Remember that. A perfect lamb, the bones are not broken. Slaughter that lamb. Do not break the bones. Slaughter that lamb. Take that blood and put it over the doorpost. And when the death angel goes around, he will not go to the house of anyone that has that blood on the doorpost. That was significant. Jesus was showing a parallel, we know, to himself. That is the reason this was done on the Passover. So we continue. Matthew 26, 26 to 29. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many of the forgiveness of sins. Do you think the disciples understood what he was talking about? Drink, this is my blood. Eat, this is my body. I got to admit, I would have been kind of like, that's weird. Drink it? Eat it? I mean, we do it, and sometimes do we think about it? Drink it? Eat it? Now, the things we do know, I'm going to talk about drinking and eating in just a minute, but the things we do know is that we do know that he was about to become the perfect Passover lamb. We know that he would be beaten, bruised, and bloody. That those thorns would be put on his head, that cat of nine tails would pull the flesh off of his body, that he would be one complete bruise, but he would none of his bones would be broken, that his blood would satisfy all the requirements of the Old Testament law. We know that Jesus' blood bridges that chasm between us and God. We know that. But let's talk about a minute. It was symbolic. It was important for them to eat the bread. It was important for them to drink the blood. To drink. And let me tell you why. I'm going to get to a scripture. To me, it is the most phenomenal scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the New Testament. But let's go back in time for a minute. Let's go back to Adam. We know Adam, Jesus communed with Adam. Jesus walked with Adam. He was able to do that. But because of the sin of Adam and Eve, he couldn't do that anymore. There was a chasm that was made. Now, after Adam came Noah. God could speak to Noah. But he could not have a relationship with Noah. He was not inside Noah. He could speak to him. He could come upon him and give him the power to bring in the animals. Abraham, the power of God came upon Abraham to be the father of many nations. On top of Mount Moriah, the Holy Spirit came upon him to give him the power not to do the sacrifice. Isaac, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Jacob and Israel, God came upon him. Joseph, God came upon him in the pit. God came upon him in Potiphar's house to give him wisdom. God came upon him to the point to where he became the leader in the palace. God came upon him at moments and at times. Moses, God came upon him and he parted the waters. Upon Joshua, he came upon Samson in great power. He came upon Saul, even prophesied, even in the midst of his turmoil. He came upon David. Of course, he struck down Goliath. And he led so many battles to victory. God came upon him. Upon Solomon in great wisdom. Upon Elijah in the prophecies and the miracles he did. He came upon Elisha. He came upon Joel. He came upon Malachi. All right. Even God came upon Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When John the Baptist baptized him, it said the dove came upon him. And of course, God couldn't even fellowship with the people. He had to come upon the Ark of the Covenant. But when Jesus Christ became the ultimate Passover lamb, when he was turned into a complete bruise and his body was just torn apart and broken, and his blood was spilled on the cross and he resurrected, that chasm was done away with. And from that point forward, God just doesn't come upon you. I want to read this scripture to you. Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Here we go. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you have this guarantee that His presence will be in your life. That no matter where you go, His presence is there. Noah looked forward to this day. Abraham looked forward to this day. Jeremiah looked forward to this day. And you are living in that day. You have a hope. No matter how poor you are, no matter how rich you are, you have the hope of Jesus Christ that lives inside of you wherever you go. Now, when you get a grasp of that, it doesn't matter if you're living in Africa or Central America and the only thing that you have is a hut to live in. You have hope. You have an expectation that a good thing will happen. And that good thing is going to happen because of the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. I mean, you're a walking Ark of the Covenant. The same power that parted the sea. The devil doesn't mean when we talk about this, does he? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. John 16:7, Jesus says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The veil has been torn. We are walking arks of the covenant. Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord, in a concrete hope, in an expectation that a good thing will happen, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Sometimes when we have the mully grubs, it's because we've lost sight of our hope. If you got the mully grubs, it's because you've lost sight of the hope of a good thing's going to happen. Listen, if you've accepted Jesus, one good thing is you're going to heaven, brother. And that's a good thing. Some people say, well, you don't need to be so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. Sometimes we got to be reminded that heaven is our future, and that is a hope. That there's going to be the streets of gold. There's going to be the pearly gates. And I thank you, Jesus, I'm heading that way. That is a hope that we all can put a smile on our face no matter what we're going through. We have a hope that will happen. So how do we build our hope? We trust Him. You trust Him. Listen, have you ever got to a point to where you don't trust Him like you should? I'm talking to me. We've got to trust Him. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow. Everybody say overflow. Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you're overflowing with an expectation that a good thing will happen. I mean, if you're walking Ark of the Covenant, did you imagine how blessed they were when the Ark was in the house? How blessed are you if the power of the Ark of the Covenant resides in you? Everywhere you walk, you're blessed. Now, you don't have to rub it in on being people. You don't have to rub it in. Well, I'm blessed, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm blessed. But at the same time, you can walk with confidence to know the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead resides in you. You want revival? That revival is already in you, ladies and gentlemen. Did you get that? That power, that presence, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's in you wherever you go. All you got to do is tap into it. It's right there. It's right there. The miracle has already been done in your life. I like this. Trusting Him is the opposite of trying to make it happen yourself. Trusting Him is the opposite of trying to make it happen yourself. I'm gonna say that to myself one more time. Trusting Him is the opposite of trying to make it happen yourself. Let that sink in a minute. How many of you tried to make things happen yourself? How many times do you realize sometimes hope begins to overflow when we let go and let God have control? We got to just let go and let God have control. We can't control everything. But we have a hope. We have an expectation that a good thing will happen because the Holy Spirit resides in us. And He is with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever you go. Now, the devil wants you to think He's not there. But he is. No matter what you are facing, he is there. Jonah and Asa, if you can't catch a fish, the Holy Spirit's there to help you catch a fish. And that's biblical. Amen. If you need money, the Lord can help you find a way to make money. I don't usually talk about money, but Lord, if he can find a gold coin in a fish, he can help you find a way to make money. I didn't say find money. I said make money. Maybe you'll find some too. Amen. Others don't have to understand when you begin to overflow with hope. Your master is God, not them. Listen, when you start to overflow with hope, you act a little different. You talk a little different. And people may think you're a little different, but that's okay. You're overflowing with hope. I bet Paul walked in hope. I bet Peter walked in hope. I bet John walked in hope. I bet those folks walked in a hope that we can't understand. Even when everything around them is crumbling, they were walking in an overflow of the hope of Jesus Christ. The overflow of hope in your life leads to a great future. And this is hard because so many of us have been taught to be self-reliant. You better go get your degree. Nothing wrong with degrees. I have some. Get your degrees. Do this, do that, do that. But you got to leave room for the hope of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to guide your life. How many people have gotten degrees and don't use them anymore? Woo! Can I get an amen on that? We've got to be led by the Lord in an overflow of hope. We just can't rely on ourselves with everything because we've been bought with a price. We are his children. And we just need to listen to our Father God and be directed by him in every step of our lives. Even if you are the poorest, most neglected person on planet Earth, you can have a hope because of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. You can expect there is something good that is happening and will happen in your future. All right, this is not supposed to be long. I want to end on a Robbie hymn. Yeah, I grew up on hymns. I had a hymnal right there. I think I know every hymn there is. And I sang them, but I keep singing this hymn this week, so I think God wants me to share this hymn. You guys probably know it, and I'm going to read it to you. Hopefully you'll know it because you'll start singing it in your head. I am not going to sing Thank You, Jesus. We can all say amen on that one. Brother Scotty wants to sing it. That's fine. Praise God. I wish I had his voice or Matthew's. That's one of those things you wish you had, but listen, that's the hope, yeah. That might be a worldly hope, but okay. All right. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, Andrew. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, and blood support me in the whelming flood. When every prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Well, hallelujah. That is good. Glory be to God, Robbie. Great word, brother. Bless you, man. I'll tell you what, I am blessed, edified, excited, pumped up. Oh, man, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Give God praise for that word in the house. Come on, everybody. I do have one question I have to ask you, though. You have to be honest.
When you swung that, when he swung that thing around and it hit that 55-inch TV, I want to know, did you shout glory, hallelujah, thank you, Lord? We won't go into that, will we? Oh, my, my, my. Wow. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, love being a family. Love being church family. I love being real and authentic. Let's say it that way, authentic. I love that. So tell somebody by you right now, thank God for Jesus. Wow, boy, I tell you what, our hope is in Him. And we're going to prepare our hearts now to receive communion. And we love to have you celebrate with us. You do not have to be a member of this church to do that. Just simply be a part of the body of Christ. And if you aren't, then we can take care of that real quickly. Is anybody in here who would say, you know what, I don't know if Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I want to make sure before I receive communion today that I make sure that things are right between me and Him. I want to know that I'm in the covenant agreement that that blood and that broken body brings. Anybody in here who would say, Brother Scotty, pray. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today. Well, amen. That's our cancer-free lady. Stand up right there where you gather around her right there, folks. Look at this. She came in this house. She put in a prayer request. This church prayed over her. She's cancer-free. Now she wants to make sure Jesus, just bring her on up here. Amen. Yeah, let's get up close. Go ahead. Let's get excited about all this good stuff. Now, let me tell you something. This is awesome. Let me tell you something about a biblical pattern that a lot of people miss. A lot of people think it was get saved and get healed. But in the New Testament, it was get healed, get saved, get born again. The healing, a lot of times the miracles preceded what God wanted to do. I mean, I tell you what, let's walk her right back down here. Just come right down here and just stand right around and face me. Amen? All right. That's great. Amen. Extend your hand up this way, church, and let's pray over here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this precious gift that's in the house today. We honor her. We thank you for healing her body, for bringing her through this. And now, Father, because of Jesus, because of what he's done, we want to make sure that things are right in Jesus' name. So, church, let's all pray this out loud together. Everybody, and dear, you pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. By his authority and because of what he did for me, I come to you now. And I thank you that Jesus made a way for me. Jesus, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me and being raised again from the dead. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. A new life because of Jesus. Jesus, say it, church. Jesus, you are Lord. Hallelujah. Now give God praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand up together. And what we're going to do is we're going to worship together as we receive our communion today. We're going to worship together, and I'm inviting you to just kind of open your heart to God. And, you know, we've been teaching about praise and worship as we end this year. What greater time to worship our God than as we receive what we've heard about Robbie teach on and what Andrew has spoken on this morning, a beautiful flow of the Holy Spirit. But begin to be able to then to be able to worship and praise God because of that blood. And how many of you are believing for that hope that's within you that is birthing healing, a manifestation of total provision of everything Jesus has already provided? Already provided. Amen. So I am standing in agreement with you that as we worship in this house today, that's where our hope is. It's founded in that place. Oh, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. How awesome is that? Church, let's worship together. We're going to go ahead and pass out the elements, hold the elements, then we'll come back and receive them together. But let this word that's been spoken, let it marinate in your spirit. Let it swell up inside you. And then let's worship around that and the provision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.